Today's daf is daf Mem Hey, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Dalid on the base. Shorosh Hu Yotzei Liyisakel. So we continue now our discussion of the dinim of Ashor HaNiskal. And as we've already shown earlier, the halakha of the Isur Hana'ah, though we had a lot of different possibilities of whether we learned it from Bala Shor Naki or from the Etzem Lo Yeachel, but certainly there nobody held that the Shor would be Asur before the actual Gemar Din. Nobody ended up holding that it would be Mutter after the Gemar Din. And therefore, if a Shor is on its way now to execution, so the Din is already Nigmar, so therefore it has no longer any value. The Yigdisho Ba'alav, if the Ba'alim makes it Hegdish, he no longer has a Din of a Ba'alim at all because it's valueless. And therefore, Eino Mugdash. Shachato, as we saw from the Pasuk, if you go ahead and shecht it, it is too late. And the Bisaro is Asur, even Bahana'a. On the other hand, Imad Shalonigmar Dino. Balin sees things look bad, and the Din has not as yet completed in the court to say you are Chayev Skila. So there, if Igdisho Ba'alav, it's Mugdash. The Im Shachato, if he went ahead and he shechted it, the Basar would be mutar, because there was no one who held that the basar becomes asur before the gemar din. Misaro l'shomer chinam l'shoel nosi sechar v'la socher. Now this has nothing to do with the first part of the Mishnah, other than it, at the very moment we read about the din of the shor's ba'alut, we immediately start thinking, so what would be the din if a shomer would take that shor after it was already chayev and would attempt to use it to return to the Baalim in a state of its being asur b'hana? So that, in other words, the only issue that we haven't discussed, we talked about Hegdash, and we talked about the dinim of Mechira, and we talked about the dinim of Isser. What about the dinim of Chazor? I owe you a shor, this shor, I return the shor. So that is the next question. Before we get to that question, of course, we have to talk about what the din is of a shomer vis-a-vis the shor. And fascinatingly, we learn out from a very singular distinction between the shomrim, the various dinim of the shmira of the shor versus the shmira of the shomrim. So the Mishnah makes it very simple. Give it to a shomer chinam, to a shor, no zisor, no socher. All of them are nechnasu tachat ha-ba'alim, so that they become chayev in the nezek that the shor is gorim. And they're no different than the Baalim, whatever the previous state was. Mu'ad mishalem nezek shalem, tam mishalem chatzi nezek, and we actually asked from that principle on the shita that holds that reshut mishana, because giving it into the hands of a shomer sounds like it ought to be mishana, if you hold reshut mishana. And as we said earlier, koma kom shohu, shem ba'alav alav, misira to a shmira, to a shomer, is not necessarily shinui reshut. In any event, the Braita makes it more interesting. The Tana Rabbanan, because the Mishnah has not openly discussed the dinim of sales. It let us compare that to Hegdash. But actually the Braita says, a shor that is meimit, so atshalo nigmar dino, before the gemar din, micharo machur. So if you sell this shor, it's a valid mechira. Yigdisho mugdash. Furthermore, you'll be moel if you're nene from it. Shechato b'sarom mutar. And at that point, it isn't yet asur b'hana, you can even eat it. And here, yichziro shomer lebeit ba'alav, here you see the natural flow in the Braita, the natural flow which wasn't clear in the Mishnah at all. If a shomer now takes this shor before the Gemar Din, puts it back into the reshut of the Baalim, and says, here's your shor back, sir, but the police are chasing him. Sorry, sir, here's the shor back, you deal with the police. So then it's considered to be a proper chazor. Mishani gemar dino. However, once the gemar din has already taken place, and now the shor is a surbana, so mikaro eno makur. If you sell the shor, it's not a valid sale. Now, why would that be? The simple level, the way Rashi's been learning all along, it would not be a sale because of, no. It would not be a valid sale because you don't have ownership in it. Yisrei Hana'a makes it not yours. The problem is that the Rabbeinu Tam Pshita all along has been that nobody holds that it's usher while it's alive.
That's the problem.
That it only becomes usur after shechita or after stila. So it's the basar that becomes usur, or the body of the shor, the or. But while it's alive, it is an usur. Why, therefore, can you not sell? Obviously, it won't help to sell it for food, because if you shecht it, it'll be usur. But why can't you sell it for the purposes of plowing a field? Here's a shor. It's probably got another hour before they catch up with it. So you can do your field in the hour. I'm selling it to you for that hour, not worth the shepherd fruit. Why does it say it's not a makira at all? This seems to negate the Rabbi Tam's position that indeed it's mutar ba'ana'a. And that's not so posh. So it may be, I mean, there's some that learn that it's simply because of an issue of mekach ta'ut. So that the person believes that he's going to be able to keep the shor and he really can't. Therefore, it's a mekach ta'ut. Tosfos suggests that there's also an iser to be mashe the shor. You are not allowed, once there's a din, you're not allowed to keep that din from happening. And everybody has a chiyuv to see to it that the shor is given over to skiva. We do not believe in death row. But no, very specifically that. That's called the inui hadin. Once there's a din for skila, the din has to be done immediately, without any time whatsoever to think about it. And so Mamela, you think about it before, but you're not allowed to paskin that chiyuv on the same day that you decide that there's a chiyuv. You have to wait till another day. But once there's a psak of the chiyuv that you are niskal, then it has to be mukuyam right away. Okay, so in any event, either it doesn't have any value at all, or it's not yours because you're not a balim because it's also ba'na'a, depending on how we learn. And therefore, if you sell it, the mechira is useless. Ikdisho, hino mukdash. It's not considered to be in the rishus of a balim. So even if technically you would have had rishus over it in terms of hana'a, as Rabbi Tam says, but it's not called rishut chas, it can be removed at any moment. And there's two separate issues. There's technical balut and then there's rishus. If it's not rishuscha, then you cannot go ahead and be magdish it. Shechato, if you would go ahead and check it, the basar would be asr. Now, how about if a shomer puts it back and says, here's your shor, sir, still walking around, looks like the same thing I took from you. Heno mukta. That's not called chazara. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Afbishin, Igmar, do you know, Yechzero shomer lebalav mukta? Rabbi Yaakov says, look, perfectly valid chazara. Now, on the surface, the machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanan is simply the machlokas about whether you can be machzir Yisroihana. Can you say, Harishal Khalifanecha? Can you show me any difference between the shor now and what I took? I mean, it's irrelevant that there are these magical things about it that it's supposed to be killed. Fact is, here it is. So there seems to be, says the Gemara, okay. The Rabbanan hold, Ein Omrim Bisurei Hana'a, Resha Chalafanecha, and Rabbi Yaakov holds, Omrim Bisurei Hana'a, Resha Chalafanecha. So we have over here a classic machlokas. Says Rabbi, I don't believe that that's the machlokas. Because if it is, there's also a classic situation in which to have this machlokas, namely Chometz Bepesach. That is the common, not a shor in Israel. Somebody borrows Chometz, keeps it till after Pesach, then I gives it back to you. So let's say you push your Chometz in a warehouse that was responsible for making sure it was sold before Pesach. He doesn't sell. Come back after Pesach, all the Chometz is also buying. Oh, those Chometz and Rishus of a Jew. Says, Areshach Halachanecha. Can you detect any difference in this Chometz? Why in the world would we have that machlokas of all things on a shor on Iskal? Seems crazy. So therefore, says Rabbi, I say, everybody is ready to accept, if that were the only issue, because if the issue were indeed the question itself about Yisrael, the place to have that machlokas is not way off on a side issue of shor on Iskal. What then is the machlokas? Brilliant machlokas. The question over here is, begomrim dino shel shor, shelo befanav kem yifageh. The question is, can you paskin a chiyav of skila if the shor is not present? The rabbanan say, in gomrim dino shel shor, ela befanav. You can only paskin skila if the shor is there in the courtroom, in which case, the owner says to the guy, hey, thank you very much for bringing it back now, after you already brought it into Besdin and essentially killed it for me. You're responsible for that. If you had come just yesterday and you would have given it back to me, I could have saved it. Because ihadit and niale, if you had given it back to me before, havi ma'arakna le'lagam, I would have let it go into pasture. Would have disappeared into the forest. Besdin would never have gotten it. You could have said, Arishon kol lefanecha, because it really was lefanecha. But hashta, you basically, atfaste l'turai b'yodit lo'lech n'oshtu adina b'hadeh, you have taken my shor and physically handed over into the courts, which has taken it away from me, and I have no way of defending now against the power of the court. Therefore, it's your responsibility. Nothing to do with whether Yisroi Hana'a, you can say Arishon kol lefanecha. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov says, what good is it going to do you to hide the shor? The Shomer will say, since the sheet of Rabbi Yaakov is that Gomrim Dino Shor Shelo B'Fanav, the Shomer will say, who cares? Sof Migra Avigamri Le'Nadina. Even if you would have taken the Shor and thrown it into the forest, the court would have proceeded to Aser the Shor. Therefore, it makes no difference if I gave that Shor back to you yesterday, I give it back to you today. Bottom line is, what are you saying? You want to hide it? Go hide it. You don't want to be netted from Yisrael Hanah? That's not my problem. Because anyway, the court would have answered this short. Now, obviously, we have to express, and which we will later on, the details of the case in terms of the chiyuv of the shomer. In other words, we're taking for granted that it's the shomer's responsibility that this short did hezek and killed, and that it's a shor haniska. Obviously, that would depend on the level of shmirah and so on and so forth, which we'll be getting into the next sugya. That's the very thing that we're going to discuss. But assuming, as the Gemara is, that the case is here, that it was clearly the chiyuv of the shomer, whether there was a full level of negligence, partial level of negligence, nonetheless, the shomer still might have a taina, a risha chalafat. Now, my time at the Rabbanan, where did the Rabbanan get the idea that the shor has to be present? Where did the Rabbanan get the din that the shor has to be in court to paskin the halach? Because it says in the pasuk, Hashor Yisakel, v'gam ba'alav yumat. So the gamba alav yumat means kimitata ba'alim kach mitata shor. The Torah is basically putting the shor in the place of the ba'alim. And just like the din is, the ba'alim is bifnehem, that it says beferish in the Torah, that the defendant must be omdo lifnei ha'eda. If he is not going to be omed lifnei ha'eda, we will not paskin a din against the defendant when he is not present. So ma ba'alim bifnehem, afshor b'fanav. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov says, now wait a minute, it has to make sense, doesn't it? I mean, you tell me that the Torah is comparing it to the ba'alim, even in this sense. The reason that we want to have a defendant in court is because he's a defendant, meaning he can defend himself. He may have something to say. Last time we had a shor having something to say, he was a chamor. And therefore, I mean, we wouldn't want him in the bench. So if that's the case, obviously, bishleim ba'alim, the Ba'alim may have something to say about himself. But sure, Bartanatahu, what he's going to say something. So therefore, the most he can say it's BS, right? But he's not going to say anything else. So if that's the case, so then you don't make a hekesh on something that is completely and totally irrational. And then the Mishnah continues that if you give it over into the hands, and it lists all the four Shomrim, that the din is that they become now in locum ba'alim. Nichnesu tachat ha'ba'alim. Tana Rabbah. The Braita again expands on this, and it's an extremely important expansion because the Braita adds a piece. Arba'a nichnesu tachat ha'ba'alim. Ve'elhi. Shomer chinam, v'hasho'el, nosei sachar, v'hasocher. Therefore, hargu, if the shvarim kill someone, if they were tamim, so then the shor is neherag, the shomer is part from an hakofer, because there is no chiyuv kofer. If there are muadim, the shorim is neherag, and in that case, the ba'alim, meaning here the shomrim, are mishalmim et hakofer. And what's more, since the shor is neherag, chayavim lagzir demei shor lebala, they also have to pay back the value of the shor to the owner, because they were the ones who were responsible for the killing that ended up losing the shor. Chutz. Shomer Chinam. Now this is strange, because first we said the Shomer Chinam pays kofer. So in other words, in terms of the chiyuv for what the shor did, the Shomer Chinam is chayav. But then we said, when it comes to the restoration of the shor to the owner, the shor b'chinam is potter. Now, how is that? Makes sense. I think, dummy. What's the case? Eden natre, are we talking about where these shomrim were not negligent and they watched the shor? So what's the difference between the shor b'chinam and the other ones? Afilu kula namini patre. They're all considered to be anusim. They should all be potter. Vidalo natre. If they have not done the proper shmirah, so then I feel a shomachinam nechayim. Shomachinam is certainly chayiv for negligence. Amri says the Gemara, clearly the bright is forcing us to say that Achava Mareskina did not re shmirah pechuta, velo not re shmirah mu'ula. There is a difference between the level of shmirah that is expected of a shomachinam who is doing a guy a favor in watching something for him, is not being paid for it. The shor b'chinam, therefore, does not have to do more than tie up, close the door, and that is sufficient. Therefore, vis-a-vis the owner, he would be potter. Vis-a-vis the shor, now that's a different issue. We know that there's different shittot about the shor, and we're going to get to it, but we can certainly conceive of a case where the shmirah p'chuta may be sufficient to potter him and say to the owner, look, I did what I was meant to do for you, so if I don't have to give the shor back to you. Whereas for the nezek that occurred, the murder that occurred, and the kapora that is necessary, perhaps more is expected. That we have to see. But at least I can conceive of that. But the other shomrim, since they're not doing anybody any favors, they are expected to do a better shmirah. A better shmirah, indeed, might mean you have to stand there. Took responsibility. Responsibility means that you need to actually be there and make sure nothing happens to the shore. Anything less than that, you're going to have to pay back. And therefore, in these cases, the other three shomrim will pay the owner. So let's just see that inside. As far as the shomer chinam is concerned, kal tale shmirato. He has been yotze his chiyuv of shmira, and he's done whatever he said he was going to do. There's no negligence that's involved for the baalim. But as far as his requirement for kapara, he still requires the kapara. And the other ones, hanach lokal tashmiratan. Yes, the Gemara, is that so clear? Amri, explain to me who the author would be here. Is the Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir? Come on. Ika Rabbi Meir. I mean, Rabbi Meir we're going to see. The truth is, of course, we've already discussed it many times, but in the upcoming Mishnah, we're finally getting to the wellsprings of this machloket. What is required for the shmira of a tam, and what is required for the shmira of a muad? Now, Rabbi Meir says that the din is that shmira pechuta is insufficient. Okay, that would explain why you're chayef kofar. But it would not explain something else, unfortunately. Because over here, we have four shomrim, and there's one unique case, shomer chinam. Problem is that Rabbi Meir could not be the author of that. Because Rabbi Meir, Diomar, socher kishomer chinam dami. According to Rabbi Meir, a shomer chinam is never unique among the four. Because according to Rabbi Meir, a socher is the equivalent of a shomer chinam. Because, look, the socher means a guy who's paying rent for the use of something. And if that's the case for hire, there's two ways of looking at it, and that's a machlokes and bar mitzvah. Do we look at it as the payment that he's making takes him out of the class of the shoel? And say, look, I can't be responsible for everything, that's why I'm paying you. But on the other hand, he's also not doing you any favors. He's not doing you any favors, he remains a shomer sachar. So the guy who is getting benefit, I am getting benefit, I'm using your lawnmower. On the other hand, I'm not completely taking your place to be chayav even the onsen, because I'm paying for the use of your lawnmower. But I'm also not doing any favors, and therefore you can't say, if I'm doing you such a favor, I only accept the shmir b'chuta. So according to Rabbi Meir, a shomer sachar is one thing, but a socher can indeed say, all the benefit I'm getting, I'm paying you for. As far as watching it, that's a favor. And therefore, I should be the same as a shomer sachar, a shomer chinam. Now, that's a machlokes in bar mitzvah. Rabbi Meir holds that a shomer chinam and a socher is the same din in terms of the chiyulim vis-a-vis the owner. So then why does it say over here, except for the Shomer Chinam? It should say, except for the Shomer Chinam and the Socher. So it can't be Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Because if it's Rabbi Yehuda who holds that a Socher has the same din as a Nosei Sachar, which would at least explain why a Shomer Chinam is a singular exclusion, but then it should say all of them, Nitne, Chutz Mishomer Chinam, Vikulam, Bimuadim Pturim, Winged Kofar. It could say yes, in terms of the owner, the Shomer Chinam is unique, but as far as Kofar is concerned, they are all patur. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a mua that you were shomer, shmira pechuta, that's sufficient. And since over here, the shmira pechuta was all that was required to patur you from the owner, you would also be patur from kofar. So it may be true to say chutz b'shomer chinam, as far as the owner is concerned, but then it wouldn't be true to say kulam b'sham b'kofar, as far as any of them are concerned. See, either we're in trouble with the formulation of Shomer Chinam versus Shomer Socher versus Socher, or we're in trouble with the formulation of Kol Chayav and Bekofer. It doesn't work out according to anybody. Omer Ravuna Bar Chanina, look, it only works out according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says in the next Mishnah, Ein lo shmira ela sakin. There is no way for you to potter yourself from the shmira of a muad. Once you've got a dangerous animal in your rishos, the only thing to do is to shecht it. You don't shecht it, then you're accepting all responsibility. And therefore, when it comes to socher, Rabbi Eliezer happens to agree with Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a socher is a nosei sachar, and that explains why Shomer Chinam is unique, and not like Rabbi Meir, who holds that Shomer Chinam and socher are the same. But he also even takes the shita of Rabbi Meir one step further when it comes to the din of Shmira, and he says you're certainly going to be chayav for keeping around a dangerous animal, even if you would make a Shmira mu'ula, which we have three dinim, three shitot as to what Shmira would be useful. So that means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shmira pchuta is sufficient to pater from kofar. According to Rabbi Meir, Shmira mu'ula is sufficient to pater from kofar. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, even Shmira Mu'ula is insufficient. Keeping a dangerous animal means accepting full responsibility. Now we have an explanation of the Braita. Abaya says there's really no problem, because the whole problem was built on an assumption that Rabbi Meir's Shita is that a Socher has a din of a Shomer Chinam. However, if you look in Bab Metzia, you will see that Rabba Bar Avua actually reverses the shitot of Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So according to him, it works out perfectly. Says Abaya, Leola Rabbi Meir, in terms of the dinim of Shmira, and therefore your chayv kofar. Ah, you say, but didn't Rabbi Meir hold that a socher is a shomer chinam? No. Kidemach the Rabba Bar Avua, the way Rabba Bar Avua reverses the Mishnah, the Tanyan he reads in Bab Metzia, the socher ketzed mishalim, Rabbi Meir over Kishomer Sachar. And therefore here, it's the Shomer Chinam that's unique. It's Rabbi Yehuda who holds the Shomer Chinam. But we're not going like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't even have to pay kofar. So now everything is perfect. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Masar Shoro the Shomer Chinam, Hizik Chayav, Huzak Patur. Fascinating. You give your shor to Shomer Chinam, that Shomer Chinam is responsible for damages that are caused by the shor. But another shor that attacks that shor, the shor mechinam is pateran. Says Gemara, well, I don't get it. They actually dumb me. I mean, there's a clause in your hiring arrangements, right? Just like there is in a rent-a-car. You know, you initial the part that talks about third-party damages. Who's going to pay if you crash into another car and it's your fault? And then there's a part about who's taking responsibility for damages to the car caused by another car? And the same is true by a shor, except that the usual rent-a-shor has only one section which you initial. Responsibility for damages included or not. Responsibility for damages is bidirectional. I take responsibility that the shor will not cause damage, and I take responsibility for damages caused to the shor. That's the norm. So, hechidami, either kibel le-shmirat zakav, or we're talking about a case where he accepted the responsibility for damages, And what's the difference whether it was Huzak or Hizi? Afilu Huzak, Naim Lechayim. If he specifically declines the acceptance of that responsibility, and it was on that basis that the contract was given, so he deloka b'leshmir nizakal. So then Afilu Hizi namely pater. Why isn't he pater even if he's mazik? Says Rava, we're dealing with a case of an umdana. Liolam shekibel alav shmirat nizakav. What Rebbe Lazar is bringing out is a special case. The man indeed initials the clause, which makes him responsible for damages. But we're talking about over here, he took a dangerous animal into his rishos that has been known to be a nakhan. And therefore, the shomer figures when he signs on the acceptance of the nezikin. Boy, this is going to be a tough one. I'm going to have to really be careful that this bull doesn't bully. But I'm certainly not going to worry about somebody bullying my bull, because this bull is acting like a bully himself. Mm-hmm. So Mamela, when he signs, stoma de milta, delo azil iu mazik achrina kivale, what he's been thinking about is that he's going to have to make sure this shor doesn't attack another shor. But the ati achrina mazik achrina didei, laske daite, he figures this shor is pretty good at protecting itself, and therefore he never intended to have to babysit the shor. He just has got to make sure he doesn't get out. But never thought that somebody else would get in. And therefore, that wasn't included in the nezikin.
It is.
It is. Well, if he's not a bullying shor, if he's a sickly shor. But as the Rishonim talk out, obviously it depends what type of animal attacked him. In other words, if it's a type of animal that he would have to watch out for, even for a bully, say, Nachinami. We're talking about a tom attacking him. Maybe if a wood attacks him, he would have had to watch out. That's true. That's all true. Why it is that out there in the fields of South Africa, why you get the idea that there are no alien spacecraft is beyond me. Everything is supposed to be rational. Everybody who does something has got... I see game theory is not part of the deal here. People will always make rational decisions. An owner ties up an animal with a rope. Now this is a rope, obviously. It's not a metal chain. He closes the door. This is a regular door, a barn door. And nonetheless, the animal gets out, and he's masik. Well, according to Rabbi Meir, we expect real shmirah, not the kind of thing where if an animal gets good and angry, he's going to be able to escape. You want it to be potter, put a chain on him. You want it to be potter, put a metal door on your barn. Don't tell me, well, you know, it looked like a door. I figured he wasn't going to go bashing down. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends. If it's a tam, you're chayav. If it's a mu'ed, you're potter. Shinema v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav, v'shamuru zeh. The Torah said you shouldn't watch it, and only there you're chayav, but he did watch it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, in lo shmera el sakin. Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't care. Even if you did what Rabbi Meir said you had to do, I don't care if you put a metal door in front of it, and he managed to get out, you'd still be chayev, because as long as you take on a animal that's dangerous, you can never say, I did whatever could be done. You didn't shecht it, did you? My time at Rebbe Meir. So basically, what exactly are they arguing on in terms of the Torah's expectation? The question is, what is your starting position? Is the starting position that when a person owns a shor, if the Torah doesn't tell us anything, then the expectation would be you have a right to own a shor. People around you are responsible and recognize that shvarim are dangerous, and therefore the balance of society is your shor free and people taking care of themselves. Says Rabbi Meir, yes. Stam shvarim are in a state of not being shomur. When the Torah comes along and says, V'yom Rachmana, tam nechayev, you are responsible. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that the Torah wants the owner to take the first step of protecting the public. That would mean, if that's all the information given, that would mean that you require a shmirah pchuta. Because since my starting position is that the social contract allows the ownership of animals, and now the Torah insists to take an additional step to protect the public, I need shmirah pchuta. When I come now to the additional stage of the mu'ed, and there the Torah says, v'lo yishmerenu. So Hadomer Rachmanu Velo Yishmanu Gabi Mu'ad, which is a given, because I already know from the town that I require Shmirah. If this must be an additional level of Shmirah. Mm-hmm. So I now know that a Mu'ad requires a Shmirah Mu'ula. The problem is that if you recall yesterday, of Ben Yigach, O Bat Yigach, 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 is a comparison of all the Gichot to each other. And therefore, we have Negicha L'Tam, Negicha L'Mu'ad. Once I'm given the information that a Mu'ad I'm Chayev on, if I don't do a Shmirah Mu'ula, then the same thing is true of Tam. I will never distinguish between Tam and Mu'ad. And that's how to read the Pasuk. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, I say, we begin with a different starting point. A minimal level of Shmirah is a given in terms of a social contract. And therefore, Stam Shvarim are b'cheskat Shmirah. People do not allow their animals out. They keep them at least in a barn with a simple door. Mm-hmm. That's a given. Now, when the Torah says, you're still going to have to pay, obviously, that's not enough. So that means to tell me, you're going to need a Shmirah Mu'ula. But now when the Torah says, by the Mu'ad, aha, and the owner didn't watch it. Well, obviously the owner didn't watch it. Otherwise, why would there be a Chiyuv? If the Torah says, Lo Yishmerenu, then that would mean that you need to do something, which I already know. That means to David that Shmirah Mu'ula, and that would be a Ribui Acha Ribui. The En Ribui Acha Ribui, Ela lima 8. Therefore, what the Torah is saying cannot be to double something that I already know. The lo yishmenu ba'alav therefore must be coming to lessen what I already know. If I required for the time now a shmirah mu'ula, and that's the given, comes along the Torah to say, if it's a mu'ad, and now we can reasonably expect people to be very careful around this animal, the only way you'll be chayev is if you weren't shemirit at all. But if you were shemirit, even a shmirah pchuta, you are now going to be potter. And therefore, mi eta katuv l'shmirah mu'ula. It's coming now to tell me, I don't require shmirah mu'ula. Now you'll say, and why not learn from the mu'ad to the tam, v'chitema negicha l'tam, negicha l'mu'ad, no. It says for lo yishmerenu ba'alav. Lo yishmerenu means lezeh, v'lo l'acher. I thought we need this pasuk, don't we? Tosfos changes this l'gufei, not l'lav. Yes, but it could have said v'lo yishmer. Why does that have to say v'lo yishmerenu? I'm saying it could have said lo yishmer ba'alav. My v'lo yishmerenu. Lo yishmerenu is stressing this particular case of the mu'ad. Lo yishmerenu lezeh. But not to extend this to the other case, which is the tam. Therefore, the tam remains an animal that requires a shmirah mu'ula. People are not on notice that this animal is dangerous. Mu'ad in Beis Din is something that people know about, and therefore it's enough if you're shemer a shmirah pchuta. Tani Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, echa tam yachad mu'ad, sheshamro shmirah pchuta patur. Yet a third shita, which we now know as a fourth shita.
This is not
related. No. We now have a fourth shita. That a tam and a mu'ad would be potter with a shmirah pchuta. Then we have Rabbi Meir, who requires shmirah mu'ula. Then we have Rabbi Eliezer, who won't even accept a shmirah mu'ula. And then we have Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the tam requires the mu'ula, but the mu'ad is sufficient to pchuta. So the new shita is that a tam and a mu'ad are both sufficient with a shmirah pchuta. Where does he get that from? He holds of Rabbi Yehuda, who learns out from the mi'at achar mi'at that a mu'ad b'shmirah pchuta is sufficient, but he does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda about the lo yishmerenu, and therefore he learns out negicha of a tam from the negicha of the mu'ad. Om ravada barava lo pata Rabbi Yehuda el etzad ha'ada ashebo. I want you to know something. The din that a shor, when it becomes a mu'ad, is sufficient to have a shmirah pchuta. That's only legabe half of the desert. But that doesn't mean that every mu'ad isn't also a tam vis-a-vis the first half of the desert. You certainly don't lose the original responsibility to be shemir the shmirah mu'ula for the tzad of the tamut. So it's only the tzad Ha'adah Shabo Avatzat Tamut Bimkoma Omedet, and for that half you will be responsible if you didn't watch Eshmira Mula. Now Rav's statement ultimately will be understood as being a response to that statement. Right now, Rav seems to be saying something that stands on its own. Says Rav, a mu'ad for a right horn is not mu'ad for a left horn. Now, this makes perfectly good sense because, as we know, a right hand is not a left hand. You can have a boxer who's got a fantastic right, but who's not going to be able to score a knockout with his left. And, of course, you have a southpaw. There are people that are bedafka good with their left. This is true for all of the organs in the body. It is no different. We know there's left-footed and right-footed people. There are right-horned and left-horned shvarim. They will favor that part of the head when they're going to be negicha. And therefore, you will not be chayev nezek shalem on the other horn. Now, the problem is that that cannot be the point Rav is making. Because if we've already distinguished between such subtleties as a shor, who is a mu'at for a treifa, is not a mu'at for a well person, it's obvious that a mu'at for one horn is not a mu'at for the other horn. By the way, when we say it's not a mu'at, we're talking about that he actually had the opportunity to gore with the other horn and did not. So in other words, he was covered with one horn, let's say, and he couldn't use that horn. He did not use his other horn. When we uncovered the other horn, he then gored with his right horn, or whatever, or vice versa. So then that means he's established now very clearly he doesn't use that other horn, even that case. So that can't be the chiddush of Rav. In which case, our question is, what is Rav's chiddush? It could only be in the direction of what Shmirah is necessary. Now, how in the world would you get a case where you watch one horn and not the other horn? So I'll leave it in mind. I mean, yeah, leave it to Rabbi Meir. It would make no difference. Because either the tam part of the animal or the mu'ad part of the animal requires the same level of shmirah. If you're going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the difference which horn it is? You don't need to have a different horn. The same horn is both a tam and a mu'ad. Because it's a tamut bim koma omeda. So how could you ever have a case, according to Rav, where you watch Badafka one horn and not the other horn? It's irrelevant. And therefore, you would be, I'll leave it to you to my area, Karen Small, afilu b'yamin, on the same horn. Nami it pitzat tamut, vi pitzat mu'edet. Says the Gemara, that's exactly the point that Rav is making. What the point is that liyolam k'rabi Yehuda, I'm telling you, says Rav, that the only difference in an animal, you want to say the same animal, can be a tam and a mu'ad for Karen? Yes, it's possible. But only different horns, not the same horn. Meaning I disagree with Rav Ada Bar Ava's statement that tzat tamut b'kuma omedet. That's exactly why the mimer of Rav appeared where it does. You say that tzat tamut b'kuma omedet. I say, you want a case where the same animal is a tam and a mu'ad in its horns? Right horn, left horn. But certainly not the same horn. So Halki Kamar, what Rav was saying is precisely that. Ki hai gavna, this idea of a shor that is both a tam and a mu'ad in its horns, yes. Hu demeshkacha beitzat tamut mu'edet. You could find in a right horn and a left horn a tam and a mu'ad. Avo mu'ad legamre, if it's established that it's a mu'ad in both horns, you will never find a tzat tamut klal. Because Rav Ada Bar Ava is wrong about that part, and tzat tamut is not b'kuma omedet. Would be the only meaning of bringing up the difference between a right horn and a left horn is to make a very dramatic statement that the same horn cannot be a tam nemuad. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein lo shmirah, ela sakin. Now, how does Rabbi Eliezer tie that into the pasuk? We've learned through Rabbi Meir's halacha, we've learned through Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, how they derive lo yishmerenu ba'alav from the point of view of the starting position in the halachas of the Zikin. But how does Rabbi Eliezer come away with saying you must either shecht it or assume full responsibility? My time, Rabbi Eliezer. Ah, it's because the Torah says v'lo yishmerenu. That is not a statement of question. It's a statement that is given. You cannot watch it. Lo yishpena, not you didn't watch it. Meaning, if you didn't watch it. It's not conditional. It's absolute. You cannot watch it. Shuv eno shmira lezeh. Amalei Abaye, does that make sense, Rabbi? I mean, it says, v'lo yichasenu. By the boar. Ki yichra yishbor v'lo yichasenu. It's the same exact word. V'lo yishmirenu. So are you going to try to tell me you cannot cover a boar? And if you want to be potter on a boar, there's only one thing to do. Shecht it. How do you shecht a boar? You fill it up, kill it. There's no longer a hole there. So then you should say the same thing. V'lo yichasenu nami. Shuv eno kisri lezeh. Is that what you're going to claim? That you cannot cover a hole? If you try to tell me, maybe that's true. Maybe, indeed, a cover is no good vis-a-vis a hole, because ultimately it's not the same as not having a hole there. The problem is, the Mishnah says, Beferish not like that. And Rebbe Eliezer does not argue, V'atnan, Kisahu Karaui, V'nafala Tocho Shor HaKamaru Meit Patur. So that cannot be the source of Rebbe Eliezer, because then he would be inconsistent between Shor and Bor. Elom Rabaye, Hayu Taimed Reb Eliezer, all that Reb Eliezer was saying is Kidatanya. Rebbe Natan Omer, Minayim Shelo Yigadel Adam, Kelev Rabba Toch Beito. How do we know that it is usher to keep a dangerous dog, and for that matter, Al Yamuid Sulam Ra'ua, even Betoch Beito? You cannot have a dangerous ladder and say, look, I have a Pladelet, I'm the only one who's going to use it, I'm not endangering anybody, so what's the problem? No. It says, v'lo tasim damim beveitecha, which means you have no right to such a thing, even if you're shomer it, even if it's in your own reshut. And therefore, you have no ability to avoid, even if it is betoch beiso. It's at best betoch beiso. So why is it sufficient? Says Tosfos, the Gemara has now given up on Rebbe Eliezer. Until now, we thought that Rebbe Eliezer represented a fourth shita of the level of Shmirah that's b'chayav you. We now understand Rebbe Eliezer to making a moral statement, not a civil legal statement. He's not saying eno shmirah elo shchita, and if anything less than shchita means you're chayav to pay. He's simply saying, don't use the shmirah as an excuse. You had no right to have this year anyway. But obviously, as far as the Chiyuvim are concerned, he's going to be stuck with how to interpret the Pasuk of Lo Yishmerenu.
He will be Mechayim.
No. He will not be Mechayim. He will agree with Rabbi Meir. All he's saying is, but don't think that morally that's correct. It's not correct. Because otherwise, says Tosfos, we've not answered our original question. Either it is consistent with Bor, or it's not consistent with Bor. Now, obviously, there are other ways of learning the difference between the question on Bor, was it a question on the level of Shmira, or was it a question on the language of the Pasuk of Lo Yechasenu versus Lo Yishmerenu? That is an alternative. What do you mean, why? It's telling you what not to do. Does it say you're chayev if you do it? Even betol betol, sure, I understand, goes out. A ladder, you could say I'm going to put it in somewhere where you can get it. My dog, I'm going to keep indoors. It's my pet. You don't like Rottweilers. Okay, don't come into my house. So what? Hagel Allah Shor Shanagach, Arba Av, Chamisha, Shevarim. He goes all the way, this man. Shor Shanagach Atapara, Minimtsa Ubra Betzidan. Now the question is that Ubra a part of the damage or not? To be seen. Shor shehu yotzei lisakel v'iktisho ba'alav eno mugdash shachato b'saro asur v'imad shelo nigmar dino yikdisho ba'alav mugdash im shachato b'saro mutar misaro l'shomer chinam l'shol nosisachav l'asocher nichrasu tachat ha'ba'alim muad b'shalim nezek shalim tam b'shalim chatzin ezehem ton rabbonan. Shor sheimit ad shelo nigmar dino becharom machur hegdisho hegdash shachato b'sar mutar yechziro shomer lebeit ba'alav muhzar mi shenigmar dino mecharo eno machur hegdisho eno mekdash shachat b'saro asur yechziro shomer lebeit ba'alav eno muhzar whereas Rabbi Yaakov amir mi shenigmar dino yechziro shomer lebeit ba'alav It is muzar. Lema b'kamifrge. Drabonin zavri enom rimni sorehana areisha chalafanecha. Rabbi Yaakov zavri omrim nisorehana areisha chalafanecha. Omer Rabba, no. Kule amam rinan nisorehana areisha chalafanecha. Because if that were the machloket, then clearly niflag l'nilchamit b'pesach. Elahacha begomrim dino shashar shalav b'fanav kamifrge. Rabbanat zavri ein gomrim dino shashar shalav b'fanav. And therefore, the owner could say, it's all your fault. But now, for Yaakov Sava, Gomrim Dino Shoshulabafanam, Diomar, Sof Sof, Migma Havagamil Ladina, my time in the Rabbonan, Ashur Yisakel the Gamba love you mad. This teaches us Kmitata Balim Kachmitata Shor, Ma Balim only Bifnehem, Lamod Bifneh Haida. Afshor only b'fanav. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov says, look, for the Baalim it makes sense, because b'nei ta'ananinu, alashor bar ta'anatahu, you might as well say that the same way the Baalim has to be standing on his 2 feet, because it says va'omad, the shor also has to be standing on his 2 feet. I mean, obviously, it's a function of what type of organism you are. Misarola shor merchinam adashoyim. Tana Rabban. Arba nechasu tachat ha'baalim. Eloi. Shomachinam shonus socher v'asocher. Horgu, tamim neragin, turim v'nakofer. Muadim neragin, v'shamim v'nakofer. And, in all cases, chayvim lachzot v'shor l'balav, except for the case of the Shomachinam. Ami, hechidami. Idin natre, afilu kulun ami lipatre. Idin lo natre, afilu Shomachinam l'chayim. Ami, achum ha'eskinon, din natre shmira pechuta vis-a-vis the baalim, v'lo natre shmira mu'ula vis-a-vis the kofer. So the Shomer Chinam kaltalo shmirato, hanach lo kalta shmiratan. But wait, come on. Ik Rabbi Meir, the Amash Sarcheret, ki Shomer Chinam dami. Why did it only say chutz b'Shomer Chinam? It should have said chutz b'Shomer Chinam esocher. Ik Rabbi Ramash Socher, iskinos esocher. But then the whole thing doesn't make sense. Because nikne chutz b'Shomer Chinam and kulam b'muadim p'turin l'nikofer. Om Ravuna b'chinina, Amani Rebbe Liyazri, the Omer Enlo Shmirala Sakin, so then you socher Savalak Rebbe Yehuda, Tomer Socher, Kenosi Sachar Dami. Abaye says, no, it works out perfectly, I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir, as long as you go along with Kedamach Lefraba Baravu and Bab Metzia. Vetani Socher Ketze Meshalim, Rebbe Meir Omer Kishomer Socher, in which case Sorba Chinam is unique, Rebbe Yehuda Omer Kishomer Chinam, Omer Rebbe Elazar, Misaro Sharo, Shomer Chinam, Hizik Chayav, Huzak Patur. Amri Echidami. Either the Kibel Alei Shmirat Nezakav, Afilu Huzak Vachayev. Either Lo Kibel Alei Shmirat Nezakav, Afilu Hizik Lipater. Omer Rav Alonam, Shikipel Alei Shmirat Nezakav. Hachma Eskenim, Shikir Bo Shunakhan, Sabbath Mitzvah Lazi Liu Mazik Achrina Kabel Alei. But the Ate Achrina Mazik Alei Lidide, Lazik Adaite. Kisharo ba'alav u'mosira, na'al b'fanav k'ro'ui, v'yatzav izik, echatam yechad mu'ot chayav de Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda omer, no, tam es chayav, v'lemur es potter, sh'amav v'lo yishmurenu ba'alav, v'shomoroza. Rebbe Eliezer omer, ein lo shmira, ela tzakin. My time in Rebbe Meir, kasover stam shivarim, lav b'cheskat shimur kaile. V'yomer achman atam, nechayev di bo'ele shmira p'chuta. Now when the Torah comes along and says, v'lo yishmarenu gabi mu'ad, he's now adding an additional chayev di bo'ele shmira mu'ula. And now we learn out negichel atam, negichel amu'ad, back to tam. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Sava, stam shvarim b'cheska shimur kaimi. When the Torah says tam, nonetheless pays, means you need a shmira mu'ula. When now, other abachot lo yishmarenu gabi mu'ad, it's now telling me, to make it what even better shmira riboy acha riboy and riboy acha riboy lemayit miyet hakatuv shmira muula. So now you'll say, so why not learn back to tam? Because you'll say negichat tam negichat muud miyet rachman alo yishmeren nu zevel ala acher. I thought we just used velo yishmeren balav legufe. No. Okay, nichto rachman alo yishmor my lo yishmeren nu zevel ala acher. Tanya Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Amerechatam v'yachad mu'ad shomu shmira pechuta patur. By time it's over like Reb Yudah Amar mu'ad b'shmira pechuta sagile. But he is yalef negichal atam negichal amu'ad. Omer v'ad abarava, you should know that nonetheless lo patur Reb Yudah l'tzad ha'adashabo but the tzad tamut b'mkoma omedet. Whereas Rav says the only place you'll have something like that
is more the Karen Yamin and more the Karen small. Amri Libidaman. Therefore, won't make the size a bit of difference. So, why do you have to say Karen small? I feel it would be a mean. Eat Beitzat Amut Bim Komam Adat, Vit Beitzat Muadat. Amri, no, that's the whole point. There is such a thing. But where? But never in the same Karen. So, Muad Lagamri, Lomashkaka Beitzat Tamut Kalal. That means not conditional, but absolute. Ain lo shmira. You're going to say the same thing? Yes.